Today, I would like to address a tragedy that we're all familiar with that took place just too recently in Mumbai. And it's a tragedy that probably hits home with us a little bit more than other tragedies. And I was trying to think why that's the case. Certainly, the personal element is there. Many of us know some people who were related to the Chabad family that killed Av Kiddush Hashem. I personally also, there was somebody named Teitelbaum that was killed. That was a cousin of mine. So certainly, there's a personal element to it that I think makes it hurt more than perhaps other tragedies, that even recent tragedies. But I think also because, you know, everything today is real time. You know, with the advent of internet and the fact that everything happens instantaneously and even in the global events. When we heard about Nebuchadnezzar event, when they attacked the Nebuchadnezzar Pesach and the Arabs killed the people during the Seder, we heard about it l'achar ha'maisa. This was something that was unfolding in front of our very eyes. I think it certainly made it much more painful. It certainly pulled us in more. It certainly made it much more painful as we lived with the tragedy as it was ongoing. It's something that requires a cheshbon nefesh. When something happens to Klal Yisrael, when members of Klal Yisrael require some introspection. There have been other tragedies, and it's sad to say that there will be other akedahs. But we need to understand on some level what we're to make of it and how we're supposed to react to it. And I think it's important to be able to deal with it. Firstly, we should probably acknowledge the Mesiras Nefesh. The people that were there, the Chabad couple that was there. You know, in this week's Parsha, Yaakov utters the famous words, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anoichi lo yadati. He slept at this site. He didn't realize that Hashem's presence could be at this site. Certainly we could say in a far-flung place in India, who would ever think that there's Torah there, there's a dissemination of Torah in this far-flung place. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. But it certainly speaks to their Mesiras Nefesh to go to such far-flung places and to try to reach out to our Jewish brothers and sisters. And that's the point I want to make. Chazal tell us, Atem Kriyim Adam. Bnei Yisrael and only Bnei Yisrael alone are considered Adam. So a guy may take that as an affront. What? We're not Adam. Only you guys are Adam. We're not a mensch. Atem Kriyim Adam. Adam in the singular. There is no such nation in the world. There is no other nation in the world that is singular and whole and one like Klal Yisrael. Just like in one person, if a leg hurts the person, the whole body feels it, right? The pain the head acknowledges the pain in the foot. If we're one person, if we're one unit, if Klal Yisrael is one, then we feel the pain as if it's happening to ourselves. And so that hergish that hopefully we all felt, and it should have been, tremendous feeling of pain should be not because of something that happened to Yenim, to somebody else on the other side of the world. It's part of our guf, it's part of our body, part of our family was just killed out. And that's one of the greatness of Klal Yisrael, Atem Kriyim Adam. And you know something? It is a unique trait to Klal Yisrael that we're able to feel the pain, that we're able to truly understand that we are, in fact, one entity. But you know what? In a strange, bizarre way, the Goyim know it too. The Goyim know it too. When they attacked, you know, we know, unfortunately, sadly enough, we sometimes make mental notes in our mind, oh, he's Chabad, he's modern Orthodox, he's from, he's not from. Goyim don't make that distinction. A Jew's a Jew. Out of the millions of people that they were living out there, they singled out a handful of Jews. It didn't make a difference. Then what was Hasidish? And what was Chabad? And what was modern Orthodox? And what wasn't from? A few Israelis. They saw. They know. A Yid's a Yid. Halvai, we should feel the same way. Halvai, we should know it as well. They know a Yid's a Yid. Didn't make a difference to them. Atem Kriyim Adam. We have the Achrayis to feel that pain. Because in fact, it is our family. So the first thing we have to understand and acknowledge that it's our tzara. It's not just somebody else's tzara. But it really is our tzara. Millions of Jews, I said. Millions of people in India. in Mumbai. And they attack a few of us. It's an incredible thing when you think about it. It says, Vayishma Yisrael. Yisrael heard. So Chazal, Rashi brings down the Chazal. Mashmu Hashem Abba. What did Yisrael hear that he decided to come and join Klal Yisrael? Yisrael was the first convert. Why he joined Klal Yisrael? So Chazal tell us. You should know the Rashi. Rashi says, one reason is Kriya Samsev. Okay, that's pretty impressive. You got a God that can do that for you. You know, I want to stick with the winners. But then Chazal say, he heard, anybody know the other one? Milchamas Amalek. Milchamas Amalek. So some say, oh, they beat up Amalek. That's pretty good too. It's not so push it that that's what it means. In fact, because Rashi says, Vayichad Yisrael was kind of upset that Amalek was defeated. Because that was one of his own kind. He was a guy at one point too, and he kind of felt sad for them. But you know what he couldn't understand? He said, what's going on over here? There's a bunch of slaves leaving Egypt. They're beaten to a pulp. They have no nation. They have no land. They're not a threat to anybody. What's the obsession? Why did Amalek find the need to attack Klal Yisrael? They're a little nothing on the screen, on the radar screen. They're nothing on the radar screen. This puny nation. Why'd they attack them? Why'd they attack them? There must be something special about that. There must be something special about that. Why the obsession with the Jews? How come all the Goyim are obsessed with the Jews? There's a fellow named Usher Wade. Some of you may have heard of Usher Wade. Usher Wade was a son of a Baptist minister. He wasn't Jewish growing up. And he converted. He tells a story. He told me personally, but I'm sure this is part of the story you share with everybody, that he went to Germany as a non-Jew to study the Holocaust. He and his wife together, both not Jewish. Like I said, he was a son of a Baptist minister. He, a Southern Baptist minister. He the more he studied about the Holocaust in Germany, the more he kept coming back to the question, why were they so obsessed with the Jews? Why did everybody want to kill the Jews? Why did everybody stand idly by? And the more he asked that question, the more it pointed to irrefutable evidence, there must be something about them. I don't know what it is, but there must be something special if the whole world wants to see them gone. And that's when he joined the Jewish people. Just like Yisrael. Yisrael heard about Amalek, and he heard about the Germans. Rabbi, we don't have answers to all those questions. Why? We'll talk about the Golos a little bit. But one thing we see clear, that there seems to be hashgacha, divine providence. It's illogical. It doesn't make sense why this, they're consumed with the Jew. I met a Russian Jew years ago. And he told me a strange story. He said when he first got out of Russia, so they showed him a map. And he wanted to see Eretz Yisrael. So his first assumption was, when he's reading the letters, he assumed Canada was Israel. Figured, Israel, he heard about Israel his whole life. It's got to be a big country. Everyone's talking about Israel. And they're very close with Americans. So he figured, he said, oh, that must be Israel. He said, no. So finally looked at the map, and they said, try to find Israel. So of course, you know, you can barely put the word Israel on the country of Israel because it's squished into the Middle East. You can't even see it. And he's like, this is Israel? He had no hasaga. This little thing in the middle of, that's what everyone's going crazy over? Yishma Yisrael Mechamas Amalek, Mashmu Hashem Abba, you heard Mechamas Amalek. Millions and millions of people, they attacked this little Chabad house. That's what they plan about? It wasn't arbitrary. It was planned. Don't let anybody tell you. I heard somebody say this, and I was very upset about it. Not one of the students, one of the teachers, I'll be honest with you. No, it wasn't an attack against the Jews. Baloney it was. If anyone tells you that, dead wrong. Dead wrong. We're not proud they attacked us, but we need to understand this hashgacha. There's something about us. Maybe it's because nobody likes an alarm clock, I would say, right? We're their spiritual alarm clock. We are the moral conscience of the world. Many reasons for anti-Semitism. That's not the point now. But the point is to understand that there's a plan. There's a Yid and there's Kedusha. Hashem tells Avram, Vavarcha mevarchecha, I'm going to bless those that bless you, umekalalecha or. And those that curse you, I'm going to curse. You think of that pasuk, it's a half of the pasuk. Avram Avinu? Who wants to curse Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu. He was the biggest Baal Chesed on the planet. He davened for Sdoim. There wasn't a single person in the world that he didn't love and show love to. People that curse you, I'm going to curse. The boy say, when you walk around with Emes, there are people that don't like Emes. We keep a Torah, we're a reminder. Somebody doesn't like that. It should reinforce in ourselves that we have something special. But understand that this is part of history. And understand there's nothing arbitrary. Even if we can't understand why a particular event happened. The Reishis Bara Elokim, the first lesson in the Torah, the very first lesson in the Torah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, is Bishvil Reishis. It's an incredible statement. Beis Reishis, the letter Beis. Rabbi said the first pasuk in the Torah is not a scientific statement. People say, oh, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. It's not true. Something else came first. Of course, it's not a scientific statement. Nor is it a historical statement. That's not how we learn Torah. We're B'nai Torah. We know how to learn the Torah. But Pasuk and Bereish, the first Pasuk, is not a scientific statement. Certainly, Shemayim Rashi tells us, a Shemayim preceded Shemayim. Obviously. It's not a historical statement. It's a philosophical statement. Why was the world created? That's what the Pasuk's answering. Bishvil Klal Yisrael. And Bereishis means Bishvil Yisrael. That means every event that happens in the world, somehow is connected to Klal Yisrael. It's a very ethnocentric view. It's true. Now everything revolves around Klal Yisrael. We have to understand that. It doesn't mean that we thumb our nose at people, but it means we have to understand that there's a hashkacha, there's a divine plan for everything that goes on in this world. And in a certain sense, at least that part is comforting. If we felt events in life were arbitrary, and Jews are stopped being picked on, and there's no master plan by Kodesh Baruch Hu, that would be impossible to be soivel. That would be impossible to endure. But if somehow we know there's a grand design, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but there is a grand design, this is part of Ashkacha, then we see it a little differently. It's part of a plan to get us to the goal, to get us to the end. This story happened in the 60s. Kfar Chabad was being built, and they came under much attack by the Arabs. A number of Chabadskas were killed. And so many of the people building there decided, we don't want to build anymore. That's it. We're leaving. It's not worth it. Lubavitcher Rebbe told them, no, you're making a mistake. You have to keep building. And he said, "Ubehemshech habinyan tisnachemu." And with the continuation of the building, you will find consolation. We have to continue to build, Rabbi Say. Our job is to build. There are karbonis along the way. There are karbonis. We learned that already in Parshas Vayera. We learned that in Parshas Vayera. The Satan came and said, what? Klal Yisrael? They're not deserving. Avram's not deserving. He's not anything special. Hashem said, let me show you how they approach an Akedah. And he gave Avram the test of the Akedah. This is not a one-time event, gentlemen. Throughout history, Nebuch, they're going to be karbonis. They're going to be akedis. The purpose of those akedis are to stifle the kategor, to stifle the sultan. We don't know what these two karbonis did. All those yidden that died, Nebuch in India, they were all karbonis, they were all akedis, and who knows what kind of akedis, who knows what kind of stifling of the kategor they did to save us. We have to learn in their memory, we have to do mitzvahs in their memory. They died al Kiddush Hashem. It was a chus for them, as painful as it is for all of us and their families. But we have a debt of gratitude to realize that that was an Akedah. And they probably stopped much of Akategor against us as well. Yaakov Avinu, the sixth parasha, he leaves home as a fugitive. Esav wants to kill him. Not a great scene, not a great start to his life when he wants to get married. And he's dejected. In fact, he complains. He complains, Hashem, why is this happening to me? Then he has a dream, he goes to sleep. As I mentioned earlier, he has a dream. Malachim, Oilim, Malachim, Yerdim, Malachim going up and down a ladder. Chazal tell us the Malachim going up and going down represent the four gullis, because Malachim is plural, the minimum plural is two. Malachim up, Malachim down means four. Represents the four gullis. Yaakov gets a vision. Yaakov gets a vision of four gullis. And what's frightening to him was, Hashem says, he sees three malachim going up and going down, but it really says that the fourth one, which is Golas Edom, the one we're in presently, he sees it going up, the malach, he doesn't see him coming down. Doesn't see an end in sight. And Hashem says to Yaakov, come. Come on this ladder, and you'll be able to feed him. And Yaakov's afraid to come on that ladder. That's how afraid he was of this Golas. We're living in a very frightening Golas. This is the last Golas, the frightening Golas. And yet, when he wakes up, the Pasuk tells us a fascinating thing. Vayisa Yaakov is Raglov. Yaakov lifts up his feet and he heads to Haran. Rashi tells us, what does it mean he lifted up his feet? Well, what kind of expression is that? He lifted up his feet? What does that mean? So Rashi says, because he heard a Bsura Toiva, Hashem gave him the good news that he's going to watch him and protect him. That was part of the dream. So he's able to leave, and rather his feet, dragging his feet literally, his feet lift him up. His feet lift him up. It's an incredible thing. He just was given a vision of Golus, of darkness. And yet, he's able to pick up his feet and move forward. Not just move forward. We'll see in a second, he enjoyed Kfitza Derech. Vayisa Yaakov is Raglov. How did he do that? How was he able to do that? Yaakov, we said, Davin Meirev. That was his tefillah that he instituted, because that's where he slept. He slept at night, and that's where he davened. Vayivka b'makoy. And what is the tefillah of Meirev parallel? What is the tefillah of Meirev parallel? Well, we know the tefillah of Shacharis parallels the Korban of Shacharis. The tefillah of Mincha parallels the Korban that took place in the Mincha time. What about the tefillah of Meirev? It's a bit of a problem, gentlemen, because there was no Korban in Meirev time. So what tefillah, or what Korban rather, what avoid in the base of Middash did Meirev correspond to, that Yaakov davened for? You think Yaakov, the Bechir Sheba Avos, Yaakov is considered to be the highest, the most special of all the Avos. Why does he get Meirev, the last tefillah? There's a famous Medrash, says like this. The students of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma asked Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Masai ben David ba, when is Mashiach going to come? And then he responded, very cryptically, Zais Torah Sa'ayla. This is the Torah of the Korban Ayla. That was their question, that was his answer. What's the question, what's the answer? Zais Torah Sa'ayla, the Pasuk he quoted, actually, not the Pasuk in Vayikra, but in Sav, that talks about the Korban Ayla, not as was brought in the daytime, but Dafka is referring to the Hekta Chalavim Vavarim, which refers to what? That which was left over. After the Korban was brought in the daytime, there was leftovers that weren't burnt. At nighttime, the Avodah was get rid of all those leftovers. And that's what Yosef Bekis was referring to when he said, Zayis Taris Ola, he's referring Dafka to the part of the Korban that was left over that got to be burnt at night. How does that make anything better? Why is Yaakov paralleling Meirev, which represents the burning of the leftovers, the Bechir Sheba Avais, the greatest of the Avais, his tefillah parallels the Avodah of burning the leftovers. The Arizal told his student, Reb Chaim Vital, that his Avodah is greater than the Avodah of the Tanoim. So Reb Chaim Vital said, what are you talking about? My Avodah? We're Achreinim, a greater Avodah than the Tanoim? How could that be? So Arizal explained to him, because the times are more challenging now, what you're able to accomplish now is as precious to Eibishta as the Avodah of the Tanoim. It's an incredible point, Rabbi Yisai. It's an incredible insight. Yaakov was afraid of the last Golas. He knew how terrible it would be. He knew how hard it would be. And it is hard. It's a difficult Golas for us to remain true to Yiddishkeit. Because we have it so good sometimes also. That's part of the reason. But it's very difficult. And the Eibish understands that. And we look at ourselves and we say, one second, we're going to bring Mashiach. Look at all these events happening around us. We're not so good. We hear from our Rebbeim, we read ourselves about the Gedolim and their Tzidkis and that we don't come close to them. We're going to bring Mashiach. There's an end in sight. We're accomplishing something. And that's exactly what the students of Reza B'Kisma asked him. When's Mashiach coming? They weren't looking for a date. But he sensed that they were despondent, that maybe their Avodah wasn't so meaningful because they weren't accomplishing what they knew their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers were able to accomplish. What are we doing? We're doing so little. And his response was, you're making a mistake. Zayis Tayres Ha'ilah. At the end of the day, at the end of the Gullus, when all is left is the leftovers, the little things. That's the big avodah by Hashem. That's the big avodah. Hashem understands and knows that the challenge of this dar is so great. If we put on tefillin every day, and we do our beit hamachaveray, and we don't steal, and when everyone else around us is stealing, and we don't lie when everyone around us is lying, and we don't look at things when everyone else is looking at those things that are inappropriate. We don't do those things. That's great by the Eibishter. Because in this dar, it's such a big nesayin. That's great. That's greatness. That's going to bring the Mashiach. That's going to bring the end of the Gullus. The little things that we do now. The Hektach Halam Vavaram, those things that seem to be the leftovers, is the greatest avodah. Because of the challenge that it means for us. How did Yaakov do this? Yaakov, Raglov, he lifts up his feet and he goes with energy, with enthusiasm. Yisa Yaakov is Raglov. How did he do that? If you look at Yaakov's life, it's amazing. When he gets to Laban's house, and he has nothing good to look forward to over there. He knows he's going to Rami's house, he's going to trick him 10 times over. And yet, he has Kvitza Derech to get there. And when he has to work for Rachel, it's Yomim Achodim. It seems to be a real short time. It doesn't last for 7 years. It's real short. And when he has to pick up a rock all by himself, he does so. They all, Rabbi say, have a common theme. Whether it's Kvitza Derech or Kvitza Hazman, whether it's a jumping, he's able to transcend space or transcend and condense time or even condense his strength. There's one answer. There's one theme. It's called Ichud. It's called focus. Yaakov was told in this vision, don't worry. There's a goal. There's an end game. This is part of the Avodah. And you're part of the Avodah. And he focuses on the end game. And if you focus on what you have to accomplish, if you focus on the goals, then the way to get there somehow happens. Much quicker than you think. Much easier than you think. And the challenges, those things you think you can't lift, become liftable, become workable, become doable. And so our boy side, we have to constantly remind ourselves when events like this happen, that there's an end, that there's a tachlis, that there's a purpose, that history doesn't happen by mistake, doesn't happen by accident. It's Bishvil Yisrael. And if we don't know it ourselves, the Goyim will remind us of it. They singled out just a one little house there. The whole India. They single out a couple of Jews in the whole India. Yisrael comes because Amalek single out Klal Yisrael. Ashaway comes because why the Nazis obsessed with the Jews? There's something special. We have a special Avodah. And this reminds us of our special Avodah, but also reminds of our special Achrayus. Achrayus, it's a responsibility. Yes, these are difficult times. These are the hardest times. Yaakov was afraid to jump on that ladder for the fourth Gullus. But at the same time, to understand that it's Hekta Chalavim, the Avram that Hashem wants from us. The little things that Hashem wants from us. We daven 3 times a day. A few hundred years ago, the simplest Jew that was considered to be an outcast daven 3 times a day. That was considered great shakes. Today, Rabbi said, we daven 3 times a day with a minion. Today, we still lost that. That's huge. That's huge. There was no sign years ago to put on film. There's a sign to put on film every day. That's huge. Dictic halacha, it's huge. Without the greatness that we saw from the previous dairis, if we do the mitzvahs, the simple mitzvahs that we're asked to do, that's the hektach halam v'avarim, that's going to bring a kvitza derech and a kvitza zman for the gula as well. How we deal with tragedy is not easy. And that was a lesson Yaakov had to learn. Yaakov had to learn when he got up and said, "Achein yesh Hashem b'makam hazeh v'anoichi lo yadati," what he's referring to was when he slept. That's an avodah too. I guess that's what some of you guys are sleeping here too. That's the avodah, Rabbi said, that Yaakov understood. Sleeping represents a pause, right? When you're up and awake, you're working. When you're sleeping, every life is on pause. Life is on pause. And yet, Yaakov understood that, you know what? Even the pause in life are part of the avodah. This is a pause. This tragedy is a pause. It halted us. It stopped us dead in our tracks. But somehow, in terms of the big picture, it's part of the Avodah. It's part of the master plan to get us there. Now, Yetzer Yaakov is a Parsha Stuma, the first time learned. It's a closed Parsha. Because Yaakov complained about why this Torah. And the response is because Yaakov, you're focusing on this event rather than see the full picture. A Parsha Stuma means bring all the Parshas together. See how all they connect. If you connect the dots, you'll see there's a master plan. We have to always be reminded there's a master plan. And if we don't remember it, the Goyim will certainly remind us of it. But Rabbi said, we live at a time, a difficult time, but our focus should be the little things, to do little things right. And if this tragedy should just remind us that we have to feel one with each other, that we have to feel achdus, and Yaakov understood that. Yaakov, it says, it wasn't Misakin Tfilas Mayriv, it said he's Misakin Tfilas Arvis. Arvis is a Lashon Arevis, connection one with each other. During times of Gullus in particular, hopefully we're able to create a sense of yichud, against a sense of oneness with each other. Focus on Abedon Lechaveroiz. If we do so, Dafka, in these difficult times, and that's what the Ibishtah wants from us. Atem Kriyam Adam, to remember that we're Adam, that we're one people. The Goyim didn't discriminate between what kind of observance there was. A Yid's a Yid. If we understand that, if we act that way, if Abedon Lechaveri is to everybody, we focus on that, then Taka, the tefillah that Yaakov was saying, the tefillah Arvis, in the middle of the great darkness, will be the koyach that will get us through a gullus and accomplish what we need to accomplish. I just want to end. If we're here to focus on our Ben Adam Chaver a little bit, if the tragedy reminds us how one we really should be and how one we really are, if the pain really hit us in the gut so hard, like an immediate family member, then we really have to, behooves us to really work on Abedon Lechaveroi. That's something all of us can do. You know, David HaMelech in his Hesped about Yonason, he said the following, my love for you is so great as avas noshim, as the love of women. What does he mean by love of women? So some say it means, well, women have a greater capacity for love, and that's what he meant, that my love for you is as great as that capacity. Some say, avas noshim means the great chukka, the great desire that a man has for a woman. That means I had that great desire for you. But Unkelos says something else. Unkelos says avas noshim. Unkelos says very cryptically, avas shtei noshim. The love of two women. Who's about two women over here? Why two women? What David HaMelech was saying was the following. David comes from which shevet? Anybody know? Which shevet does David come from? Yeah. What? Yehuda. And Yonason comes from where? Michelle from where? Binyamin. Binyamin, who is the mother of Binyamin? Who is the mother of Yehuda? Avashtei Noshim. Rachel's love for Leah was so great, she was willing to give up her place in history in this week's Parsha. Als Beit HaMachaveri, not to hurt the feelings of Leah. Avashtei Noshim, the uncle was learning. That's the love that David said he had for Yonason. Look at the tremendous dedication and mysterious nefesh that Rachel had for Leah. She was willing to give up on her own personal life and give up her place in history. For what? Because she cared about somebody else. Because she cared about somebody else. And yet, look how demanding the Torah was. The Torah says that that Leah was a snua, and it says Rachel was an akara. And the first one dash in the smichas. What does one do next? It's true that Leah was snua and Rachel was an akara. The first one learned the Adarabba. Now, on some level, despite her great mesiris nefesh, the fact that Leah was a snua by Yaakov was hated by Yaakov, and hate doesn't mean literally hate; it means didn't have the same love. On some level, Rachel's held accountable for that, not feeling that pain enough, and therefore she was an akara. That's the level of Bein El Chaver that's required. Despite what Rachel did for Leah, more is even expected. Rabbi says, certainly we can, and it behooves us, to work on a Bein L'chaveroi, to care about our friends, to care about our neighbors, to care about members of our community. If we really care about the people that were Nifter, and they, in a certain sense, they were an Akeda, and they were a Kapara for us, there's no Shaila about it, then we should be doing something for them. All of us should accept upon ourselves to learn some Mishnayis, Lilu Nishmasam. It's our family. And that's the way we'll bring Mitzvah Shem, a kvitza derech, a kvitz nan, a kvitz man rather, to a gula, b'mhei b'meinu b'karv. Hagin Shabbos.